Andy Baggerly joins us. CSN Bags. Andy, nice to have you with us on this Saturday morning. What's doing?
Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Yeah, very good. I'm at the ballpark. I came in with the hamburger rolls today, the Wesson oil, and a little bit of the strawberries.
Now, you know what? I think the hamburger rolls actually beat you because I saw them coming in when I came out last night. So
okay.
Maybe they bring them in two waves. If you get a stale hamburger bun, maybe you got one that came in last night as opposed to this morning.
Yeah, they're figuring a big day today. Let me tell you, there were boxes and cartons of them out here, so I had to dodge the lift today.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was impressed. I mean, we know it's a sellout every night, whether it looks like it's a full yard or not, but I really thought there'd be a lot of no-shows with the Warriors playing a home game. And I'll tell you what, at least the lower bowl, I can't see the upper deck where I sit in the press box, but all the lower stands, the bleachers, looked pretty full last night. So, you know, good on you Giants fans for coming out on a Warriors night.
Yeah, you know, I was saying last night, and so talk about it today, this Giant-Braves series, you know, I love Giant-Dodgers. You know, it's exciting. It's the West, and they're 15-6 in the West, and the Dodgers are falling by the wayside. But you put Giant-Braves together, if you're a baseball fan, this is a real series.
Well, it is. It's a good baseball series, and, you know, same would go for Giants-Cardinals, and they obviously met in that first homestand where you don't quite know what either team has. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. When you get, you know, some of those teams together, I think Nationals-Giants is going to become one of those series as well, you know, with all the young talent that they have. And you see a series like that on the schedule, and you look forward to it a few weeks before it arrives, and then you appreciate what you see and try to analyze a little more, you know, during those games, and you definitely look forward to them.
Well, they've got some history. You go back to when Atlanta was in the National League West. You go back to 93 for Giant fans. You go back to the early 80s, and then you go back to 2010. That was one heck of a series, and it looked like last year they were going to meet again.
Yeah, and those Phillies series for a while had that flavor too.
Right.
You know, Phillies have obviously gotten a little bit older, but it's going to be hard for them to contend the NL East with the Nats and Braves. But yeah, you know, it is funny how you see certain players or certain teams will match up and rivalries will heat up between them. You know, you always have your Dodgers and Giants and your Cubs and Cardinals, but, you know, for a while there were Cardinals and Reds. There was really a lot of back and forth between those teams and probably still is. And, you know, I think that's good for baseball. I think it's always good to have intriguing matchups.
Well, I think that's part of the reason for they're going to sell out every night anyway to see the world champions. But I think there's a little bit of a buzz around this series once it gets going with all the home runs and Atlanta hits and everything else. But Matt Cain, Andy Baggerly with us, CSN Bags with two G's at Twitter, of course, with CSN Bay Area. Andy, Matt Cain last night, as I said when I opened the show today, that was Giants baseball. That's the blueprint, finally. After 36 games, I had a feeling that, all right, that's the game we've been waiting to see. Then he got smacked with a line drive last night but stayed in there. What did he say after the game?
Well, he said that it did get him pretty good, and he didn't really try to feel it until after the play was over, and then realized that he said, I'm not going to lie, that was a good one. That's going to leave a bruise. And the way I wrote it is, you know, that's kind of what his April is. His April didn't feel too good, and it's going to leave a bruise on his ERA for the rest of the season. He's going to spend a couple months trying to whittle that thing down. But, you know, no major damage done. He was back to being Matt Cain last night. He was back to being that guy that, you know, in that Dodger start before this last one last night, he had some hard outs, and you wonder, well, is it a little bit of a mirage? Is he still going to give up some home runs? And, you know, here he faces a team that's first in the majors and home runs hit, and McCann does get one. But, you know, only two other hits. One of them was an infield single. The other one, Pagan, should have caught near the wall. And
right.
And he really looked like Matt Cain. He was a guy who had movement on his fastball. He didn't leave a lot over the plate. You know, probably only one really, really good defensive play made behind him. That was Hunter Pence's catch on that blooper. So, you know, eight innings, three hits. Only the second time all year the Giants have gotten eight innings from a starting pitcher, so
right.
They don't have a complete game. The bullpen needs that. You know, they really, really do need those games. And I think you look at Tim Lincecum, you're not going to know what you're going to get from him on a daily basis. You know, Barry Hedo, I think he's made a lot of strides as a pitcher, but he's still, you know, not the front of the rotation guy you expect. What they need is they need Kane, Vogelsong, and Bumgarner to go to the post every day and give them those really quality starts, 7 innings, 2 runs, you know, 8 innings, 1 run. And I think Kane's figured it out, and Bumgarner's been there, and now it's Vogelsong's turn to kind of join the trio.
Well, we'll see what happens. He is going to start in Toronto, and I know you wrote about that in the pregame blog yesterday. Bochy said he is going to start. They did have other options, but apparently either he talked them into it or they see something that they want him to pitch. What do you think about it?
Well, I think they can't skip him. The best they could do would be to push him back 3 days. And if you think that he can benefit from an extra bullpen side session or work with David Geddy a little more, then it might be a good move to make. But their feeling is, and his feeling is, that, you know, maybe he's been working too hard. Maybe he's been throwing too much on the side. Maybe he's been grinding a little too hard pitch to pitch, and he just needs to just go out there and trust his stuff. And that's what Kane said was the key to him getting out of this, is just finding a good slot in his mechanics and sticking with it and trusting his catcher. And, Vogelsong is a guy who, even when he looks like he's coasting, he'll say after his start that it was a battle for him the whole time. So, he's just got to get back into, letting his stuff work as opposed to trying to make it work.
Yeah, he's a guy who's, you know, he pounds the strike zone, but right now he's pounding the middle of the strike zone. And, you know, major league hitters, of course, hit home runs, but they're getting big innings against him because they're getting good pitches to hit. He's flat. Kane was flat. The ball didn't have that crispness to it. And I think Vogelsong is going through that. It reminded me of Aaron Rowan. Remember, Aaron Rowan would take like 600 swings before the game. And then he'd get into the game and, well, first of all, he couldn't hit anyway, but then he was tired. You know, Vogelsong, anyway, during the week, you watch him work. He's working so hard. Maybe he is working too hard.
And I remember covering the Angels way back in 2000, 2001. Tim Salmon put himself on the disabled list. He was swinging so much in the cage trying to get out of a slump, he ended up screwing up his neck.
Yeah.
And so it happens. It definitely happens. But, you know, Bruce Bochy is changing the way he manages as a result of this, trying to stay out of that big inning. You saw night before last, Vogelsong gives up a triple. He's leading 3-2 in that fifth inning. And rather than play the infield in, trying to keep that tying run from scoring, Bochy had the infielders back, and Charlton Simmons hit a really hard ground ball that might have gotten through, actually, if Crawford were playing in, and Crawford made the play, tying run scores, and of course, they still don't stay out of the big inning, but, you see Bochy managing maybe a little bit differently as a reaction to what he's seeing from his pitchers on a day-to-day basis.
Boy, good point. I talked last night on the postgame show about Pence. And, in the notes, Posey's got really nice stats over his last 17, 18 games. He's got about an RBI a game, hitting over 350. You know, Hunter Pence gives him protection. And I think Hunter Pence is having a terrific season. If Pence wasn't hitting behind Posey, he would have like 30 walks in 17 games. If you put Belt in there, Crawford, anybody else, Pence is really protecting Posey. I see it every day.
Well, I think that if you didn't have Hunter Pence, then Pablo would be hitting behind Posey, because he's probably the only other guy who could protect Buster in the lineup. So now you've got probably a lighter hitter hitting in front of Buster third, or maybe even have Posey hitting third. So what Pence does, I think, is he lengthens that lineup a little bit. And like you said, he's a threat. He's always a threat. He's going to not cheat himself on the swing. He's going to swing hard. And he's going to find a way to put the ball in play with two strikes and runners on base. Even if he hits a dribbler, it can lead to trouble. Or it can hit his bat 3 times. Who knows what can happen? You can't predict him. He's weird. Weird. The results are weird. You can't predict it. And that equals a little bit of fear in a manager's mind and the pitcher's mind. It's like, I can't throw this guy any pitch where I know what result I'm going to get.
Yeah.
So, and as long as he is getting himself in the hitter's counts, and he's passing on that slider outside, then he's going to be in a good place. You can pitch him. You can definitely pitch him, especially if you start him down and then you move him up. And we've seen some guys do that to him this year. That high fastball can get him. But he's not like Buster, where there are places you can pitch him and get him out. But when he's going good, he can lay off that outside pitch. He can do some damage.
Yeah, he's the master of the dribbler. He just puts that bat on like he did last night, and he just puts it on the ground, and he dribbles it down the third or short or near the mound, and he beats it out, and the run scores. I can't tell you how many times I've seen him do it. What's his market like? I know we're way ahead of ourselves in this thing, but I think the Giants have to start thinking about him. There's no one really to replace him, and he's a good major league player. He's got a pedigree. What do you think his market will be like?
Well, I think it'll be pretty good, especially if he, you know, right now he's got, six homers, six steals. Right. I don't know if he's going to be a 30-30 guy, but or if those numbers mean what they used to mean. You know, he drives and runs. He's a guy who's a run producer, and he's, you know, an above-average or at least pretty good right fielder. Can play in other outfield spots as well. I think he's a guy who isn't going to have a lot of peers on the free agent market. We've seen teams lock up guys way early. You know, that's why I think the Yankees are struggling so much, because they can't just have their pick of the litter like right. They used to. The Posies, Evan Longoria's, you could point to so many guys, Joey Votto. Those guys aren't becoming free agents any longer. So I think the guys who do get the free agency find that, you know, there are a lot of teams that have a lot of money. Not just the Yankees and Red Sox anymore, but, you know, a lot of teams around baseball have a lot of money to spend. And I think there's going to be a lot of suitors for him. And, you know, it might be ultimately up to him to decide if he really, really wants to come back here. I would be surprised if they do any negotiation during the season. That just isn't really in the Giants' MO, and I don't think Pence wants the distraction either. But I'll tell you what, Marty, he's one of the long-term contracts for a long time, and teams haven't given it to him. And so I think he's really going to relish going to free agency and finding out just who wants him the most.
Yeah, and also where he wants to play. He you know, he likes playing here. And if they give him some competitive offer, that's why I say I know they don't do it, but I would seriously consider it with this guy. I've seen enough of his work ethic, the way he plays. I wouldn't be afraid. And if you're going to give Angel Pagan, who, you know, does a nice job in that leadoff spot, 4 years, you certainly could give this guy 4 or 5 years. I mean, if that's what you're doing.
Part of that was the way Pagan played in AT&T Park. Here's a hitter who wants to play here. You know, it doesn't happen very often. They've had to overpay to get free agent hitters to come here, like Aaron Rowland. So if Pence is similar to Pagan and he really wants to come back, I think there's a decent chance he will. And okay. You know what? Maybe you throw an incentive clause in that contract and give him free Phil's copy for the rest of his life. That'll work.
Give him a free scooter, and he'll be fine with that. Hey, very quickly, I know you're on your way to the park. Did you look at the numbers of this Paul Mahalam against lefties?
No, I haven't, but I just know his numbers overall, especially the beginning of the season, were really, really tough. And he's got, even with the Pirates, he had a couple of really good starts against the Giants. Just a guy who moves the ball around and can really be tough to square up.
Yeah, lefties 4 for 49 against him.
Wow.
So this will be an interesting lineup to see how Bruce Bochy attacks this today with Crawford and maybe Belt out of the thing. We'll see. But good series. I appreciate you being on, as always, and look forward to seeing you at the park today.
Okay. Me too, Marty. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Boy, Andy Baggerly, always a pleasure to get him on early in the show. And Chris Haft is going to join us of MLB.com a little later as well and follow up on some of the things we talked about today, especially the umpire issues.